morning, my friends, and welcome to the Heritage Hour. I'm Mark Gonzalez, your pastoral encourager here in Southwest Florida. And as always, I'm so delighted to be with you on this Saturday morning, as we've been doing for like 30 years in this neck of the woods, and mostly with my good friends over at Kingdom 91.5 FM, and then with our friends over at WAEC Love 860, serving the greater Atlanta area, on air and online at iHeartRadio and TuneIn Radio. And then with our friends at WTMR 800 AM, serving New Jersey and Philadelphia. What a joy to be in partnership with them, so that we can just come together and sit at the feet of the Lord and let Him speak to us heart to heart through the love letters, which I call, most people call the Bible. I call them His love letters to us. And in these love letters, we get these marvelous portraits of God. These descriptive names that just help us know His heart and character, which in turn helps us discover His ways. And so today we're going to continue a series of a particular portrait that we're saying that He is our prayer focus. The Lord is our prayer focus. And we started this last time, and boy, we have 20 takeaways related to this. It's going to take us several weeks, and we're just in week two. So if you have your Bibles, let me invite you to go over to Matthew 6. It's the Lord's Prayer, or the Model's Prayer. But this, along with many other scriptures, gives us a vivid portrait of the Lord as our prayer focus. And as you're making your way there, just a quick reminder that these messages, these 27-minute audio messages, are archived on my website. That's markpg.org, markpg.org. Just click on the broadcast box. You'll also see a video box that has 3-minute videos that cover portraits of God, and then some other helps to help you hear God, some articles, and also some one-page guides on a lot of hot topics and encouraging topics. So check it out, markpg.org. Well, as is our custom, let's just go before the Lord now and ask Him to speak, shall we? Well, Lord, I just love coming together with my brothers and sisters. Lord, I love to be able to sit at Your feet with them and let You speak to us heart to heart. And Lord, as I share the things that I've been discovering over the years in Your scriptures, and more recently in a fresh study of how You are our prayer focus, Lord, I pray that these takeaways will really help us cultivate a more and more intimate prayer life, conversation with You. So thank You, Lord, for the privilege of being able to come together to hear Your voice. Thank You. And we pray this in the powerful name of the Lord Jesus Christ, by His precious cleansing and healing, transforming, empowering, and forgiving blood. Oh, amen. Amen and amen. Well, my friends, if you're a note taker, let me just give you a brief review of the first three of these 20 takeaways that we covered last week as we launched into this fresh study of how the Lord is our prayer focus. We started over in Matthew 6, verse 6, that says, "But when you pray, go into your inner room, close your door, and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you." So number one, the Lord our prayer focus, well, He yearns for us to, number one, pray in our inner room, finding those personal, quiet times in a place where we will be uninterrupted. And sometimes it's on a prayer walk. Sometimes it's a special place in your home. But most importantly, a special place in your heart when you can get quiet and listen for the whispers of God. Number two is to pray with grateful praise. Oh, the Lord wants us to learn to pray with grateful praise. Matthew 6, 9, which starts the classic Lord's Prayer or Model Prayer, says, "Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be Your name." And we talked about four kinds of hearts or types of worship and praise, being majestic and celebrative and intimate, kind of the three points of a triangle, if you want to diagram that, but right in the middle is broken worship, when we are just broken before the Lord, humbly broken before the Lord. And when we get there, utterly dependent upon Him, oh, majestic becomes more majestic, celebrative more celebrative, and intimate more intimate. And that's how we can pray with grateful praise. praise. Number three is to pray with humble deference. As we go on in this Lord's Prayer, it's Matthew 6:10, and we talked about last time that this passage says, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And when we humbly defer to God in his ways, to God in his timing, when we recognize that even suffering on this earth, thorns that we might encounter, fiery furnaces that we may be in, God can use them all. So much goes on in this world because of our own sin, bringing some hardship in our own life, other sin bringing hardship, just sin in general, that, well, Jesus said you will have tribulation. But when we have this humble, the spirit of humble deference, recognizing this is par for the course, but this is why we have a Savior, well, then that empowers us to have a spirit of peace, even when the circumstances don't lend themselves to peace. So, the Lord, our prayer focus, yearns for us to pray in our inner room, pray with grateful praise, pray with humble deference, and now number four, as we continue our journey, to pray with daily dependence. Now that's Matthew 6:11, as we continue in this Lord's Prayer or model prayer, where it says, as Jesus was teaching his disciples, he said, pray this way, give us this day our daily bread. My friend, this is a vivid reminder to pray with daily dependence upon the Lord to provide for us in every imaginable way. Probably one of the best illustrations of all of Scripture of this is when we go back to the Old Testament in Exodus, where the Lord is dealing with his people that he has rescued out of Egypt, and they're on their way to the Promised Land, but they're in the wilderness. And they needed to learn how to be daily dependent upon him for food. And so the Lord provided daily manna. And manna literally means, what is it? You know, what's this? What is it? Well, it was a frost-like thing that came on the ground in the morning, looked like the morning dew. But actually, they were able to gather it up, and it became usable to make bread to keep them fed. And every day, God would provide daily manna for them to gather up, except for the seventh day, because that was the Sabbath day, to keep it holy. And so on the sixth day, God would provide an extra measure of the manna, and they were to gather 2 days' worth so that they wouldn't have to gather on the day of Sabbath. And as long as they did that, as long as they acted with daily faithfulness, they were going to be very well fed. But the Scripture also tells us how some of them didn't want to get up every morning to do that, and they would try to gather an extra amount on certain days. But if they tried to do that overnight, the manna would get spoiled, and by morning it would be totally unedible. It was God's way of teaching them to be daily dependent upon him. You can't hoard it once a week and think you're going to be able to eat the rest of the week. It didn't work that way. The closest thing they could come was the sixth day, as I mentioned up earlier, where God said it's okay on the sixth day to gather twice as much, because I don't want you to have to do it on the rest day of Sunday or the Sabbath. So isn't that cool? I just love that. And you know, as you think about this, in our walk with the Lord, he wants us to have a daily dependence upon him. The fact of the matter is, we are engaged in spiritual warfare, which I'm going to get to here in a couple of more points. But we are facing daily attacks from the enemy. We have to have a daily, moment by moment, guard up to protect ourselves from the onslaughts of the enemy. We also need to have that daily, I mean, change the metaphor now, like a plant, daily watering of our roots so that we can grow. Oh, the Lord wants us just to come to him daily and cultivate that sense and the reality that we are indeed daily dependent upon him. And if not, things get spoiled, things get soured, we forget, we drift, we struggle, we get embittered or sour. Oh, my friend, learn to go to the Lord, your prayer focus, and pray with daily dependence. Oh, I love that. I love that. It's simple, But man, isn't it easily attacked? Don't we get caught up in busyness and don't get around to spending that daily time with the Lord? But it's those quiet times, they're so special to me. That's when you tell me those secret things of all you want me to be. That's the first line of a classic song, by the way, just came to my mind. Spend daily time with the Lord. Cultivate a daily dependence upon Him, my friend. Well, that's number four. Let me give you number five. The Lord, our prayer focus, He yearns for us to, number five, pray with reflexive forgiveness. Pray with reflexive forgiveness. Let me take you to Matthew chapter 6, verse 12. It says, "And forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors." You know, the scripture is so clear about how important it is for us to forgive each other. In fact, one of the parables about the ungrateful steward who was forgiven by his master for a huge sum of money that first servant owed him, when the master forgave him, he was so grateful to be forgiven that big amount. But then the story goes on to say that first servant went to a second servant who owed him a little bit amount of money. And the first servant said, "Oh, I can't believe you did that." And they had him jailed because he hadn't paid that little bit. Well, it got back to the master. And in the story, in that parable there in Matthew, it says that the master couldn't believe what he heard. And he called that first servant up to him and said, "I cannot believe you did this. I forgave you for much and you couldn't forgive your fellow servant for a little amount." And so the master had him put in jail, had him put in captivity for that spirit of unforgiveness. And then it says, "And so will my heavenly Father do to you if you don't forgive each other from your hearts." Now that's a powerful, powerful parable. What is he saying? What he's saying is we need to be cultivating a heart in the Lord, like the Lord, that reflexively forgives each other for our debts, for our transgressions, for our sins, for our faux pas, for our offenses. We have no right to be offended and grandstand and finger point. No, my friend, that's the Lord's business. We're to be reflexive forgivers of one another. And here's the incredible thing. And I love how, and I wish I knew who quoted this, who wrote this. I just remember it from 40 years ago, so I can't tell you who did it. Wish I could. But here's the quote. "To forgive is to set the captive free and discover you were the captive." Isn't that powerful? When you don't forgive those who have hurt you, when you have vowed and maybe even said out loud, "I will never forgive this person for what they did to me. I will never forget this person for what they said about me. I will never forgive this institution or that church or that pastor or that neighbor or that boss or that teacher or that coach. I will never forgive. I will never forget." Well, guess what? You might think you're holding them captive. I'll show you I'm not going to forgive you. But you're the captive, my friend. The enemy has held you captive in jail, in a dungeon, in a skull of bitterness, not wanting to forgive, robbing you of your joy because of that bitterness. And oh, my friend, the Lord wants you to be free from that. He wants you to learn to pray with reflexive forgiveness and pray and forgive those who have hurt you, just like the Lord continually forgives us. He has forgiven us so much. How can we not forgive those who've done so little in comparison against us? Now, I'm not saying to forgive and forget, pretend it never happened. And I'm not saying forgive and then just trust them again. No, trust has to be rebuilt. But to forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do, is something Jesus prayed. He wants us to pray that as well. Forgive them, Father. They know not what they do. They're out of their minds. They don't realize how bad this is. Forgive them. They know not what they do. Wounded people wound people, my friends. Forgive them. They need to be healed. You need to be healed. Don't harbor bitterness and unforgiveness against them. It puts you in the dungeon of the devil. Held you captive in a spirit of bitterness. To forgive the people that have hurt you is to set the captive free and discover you were the captive. And the Bible even gives us a story of how Joseph forgave his brothers. And over in the book of Genesis, it tells us he said to them, look, what you intended for evil, God used for good. I forgive you. Here are some guys who intentionally sold him into slavery, intentionally told a lie about what had happened to him, intentionally wrote him off and got rid of him. And they were frightened to death when they discovered that after the years rolled by, Joseph was now in a position of power in Egypt. And when it was discovered that that was the brother that they sold into slavery, they were scared to death. Vengeance was sure to come, they thought in their minds. What they didn't know was that in all that time, he had become a broken man, a humble man, serving the Lord. He'd learned how to be a reflective forgiver. He had received so much forgiveness from the Lord himself, he was ready to forgive him, even though they intended to hurt him. Now, that's just amazing to me, way beyond, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That's one thing. But you knew what you were doing and did it anyway. To forgive that, well, that's supernatural, my friend. The Lord, our prayer focus, wants you to learn to pray with reflexive forgiveness. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. All right, well, we'll continue our journey now. We're coming to number 6. This is a powerful one. The Lord's Prayer, or the model's prayer, goes on, and we get to Matthew chapter 6, verse 13, where it says this, "And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil." Isn't that fascinating? Here's how I crystallize this thought. The Lord not only wants us to pray with daily dependence and to pray with reflexive forgiveness, but number 6, he wants us to pray with protective deliverance. Pray with protective deliverance. When we are people of prayer, daily before the Lord, banking upon him, abiding in him to bear much fruit, is protecting us and delivering us from the temptations of the enemy. It delivers us from any temptations that we feel already fallen into and gotten entrapped in and may not even realize it, because we all have blind spots. This is the arena of spiritual warfare. Lead us not into temptation, Lord, but deliver us from evil, because as the scripture says, the enemy is like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He's prowling about trying to deceive you and entrap you and seduce you and make you bitter and angry and resentful, all kinds of things, distracted from what is important. How does he do that? How do we pray with protective deliverance? Well, to get us some help, let me invite you to join me over in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 through 5. This is a fascinating passage. It uncovers the reality of supernatural, invisible, spiritual warfare. And here's the thing. It's not really something that's out there in this cosmos or out there in the air, so to speak. The supernatural forces are doing things out there for sure, but for us and for our lives, the primary place of spiritual warfare, are you ready for this? It's not way out there somewhere. It's at the gateways to your heart. The front gate, the side gates, the back gates to your heart. The enemy is constantly looking for ways to infiltrate your heart, to slip through the gates, to take you captive with his seductions, with his lies, with his confusion, with his discouragement and his disorientation. That is where spiritual warfare takes place, my friend, at the gateways to your heart. So let me share it with you out of 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5. And look at this progression of how the enemy gets in. That's in reverse progression, but I'll unpack that in a moment. But here's what the passage says in 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 through 5. "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful. This is your first glimpse of divine, supernatural, spiritual warfare. Divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. That's your first thing. Or strongholds in other translations. I actually prefer strongholds as the translation here. So hang on to that. Strongholds. Verse 5, we are destroying speculations. There's a second thing. And every lofty thing, that's the speculations part, raised against the knowledge of God. And we are taking every thought, and there's the next thing, captive to the obedience of Christ. This, my friends, is the revelation of the reality of spiritual warfare and how we need to pray with protective deliverance, because the enemy is constantly trying to infiltrate our hearts and seduce our hearts and taint our hearts and confuse our hearts through the gateways of our mind. So here's how it works. He starts by trying to implant a thought, a seed of distrust. That's take every thought captive in obedience to Christ. If you don't, it turns into a lofty thing or speculation raised up against the knowledge of God. So you go from a thought to this speculations. And if you allow that to stay in there, it can become a stronghold that blinds you and binds you. And the enemy is having his way with you. And you may not even realize it. And that's what we call a blind spot. You may be in the fortress or the stronghold of the enemy and not realize it because he's so good at seducing and confusing you. So when you become a man or a woman that is wholly geared in seeing the Lord himself as your prayer focus, and you're learning to pray in your inner room and with grateful praise and with humble deference and with daily dependence and reflexive forgiveness and now protective deliverance, and you're doing that day after day, my friend, you are a supernaturally powerful person that will be able to be protected against the slings and arrows, the darts of the enemy. You're learning to reflexively take every thought captive in obedience to Christ. I kind of like to picture this as a picture yourself with a butterfly net, you know, with a little pole and a little net, you know, and if you go out to a place where there are butterflies, you use that to try to scoop up, you know, a fluttering butterfly. Well, think of it this way. There's a lot of butterflies flying of thoughts flying around you, wanting to go into your mind and then your heart, okay? But there are also some moths, and let's pretend moths are really, really bad. I guess they're kind of bad because they do some damage on your clothes and all. And that represents the enemy's lies, that he wants to get in and starts destroying you from the inside out, like moths do with your clothing if they get into your home. So you have these moths and butterflies all around. So when you're having these fluttery thoughts and stuff, well, okay, one wants to go in. You take it captive. You kind of scoop it up in your net and say, okay, wait a minute, is this of God or is this of the enemy? Well, you look at the, how do you know? How can you tell the difference? Well, it's kind of simple, actually. If the thought is consistent with the character of God and the fruit of the Spirit, like love and joy, peace and patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness and faithfulness and self-control, and that's the feel, the spirit of these thoughts, well, chances are that's of the Lord. Well, what if you take that thought captive and instead of those kinds of fruit, it's angry, it's embittering, it's accusative, it's depressing, it's gossip, and all these other kinds of things are mixed in there, it's probably not of the enemy. Or it's not of God, it's probably of the enemy, you see. Take every thought captive in obedience to Christ and see if it's consistent with his character, which is why I've done this series for several years now on the portraits of God. It gives you a picture of his heart, of his character. And if the thoughts that you're thinking are consistent with those, the portraits of God, the character of God, then it's him. But if it's not, well, guess what? It's the enemy. And if you do not do this, then it's and you get these doubts coming up. It's like the serpent in the Garden of Eden, who says, hey, is God really watching out for you? I mean, really? Did he really say that about the tree of knowledge? Isn't he kind of holding out on you and he seduces Eve and then later Adam to eat of the fruit that they weren't supposed to. He lures them in. He's good at what he does. Speculations against the knowledge of God. He's not really treating you well. He's not really as good as you say he is. He really doesn't come through for you and all. And then it becomes a stronghold or fortress where with that kind of thought, you can come in and he builds this whole system of thought that keeps you locked in and held captive. Oh, my friend, recognize the reality of moment by moment spiritual warfare. The enemy sending moth-like lies and stuff to infiltrate your heart. No, take those thoughts captive to Christ. And the more you pray, the more daily you are, the more humbled you are before the Lord, the more easily you'll spot the lies when they come up and say, nope, not going to let that in, not going to harbor on that. I'm going to harbor on the things of God. Meditate upon those things. Muse upon those things. And that's a spiritually robust believer and a child of God and the bride of Christ that sees him as our prayer focus. Oh, pardon me. Well, Lord, thank you so much for this word today and the reminder that you, man, you are our prayer focus, and you, in that model Lord's Prayer you gave to us, are teaching us about what it is to be a people that are grateful and humble and dependent and forgiving and protected. So thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'm Mark Gonzalez. Oh, until next time, check out my website at markpg.org and fall in love with the Lord Jesus, your prayer focus.